Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome. Today I am speaking with Rebecca Dawson, who's been channeling for 30 years from multiple aspects of source consciousness, including Masters, Serapis Bay, Saint Germain, and Kuthami. Rebecca channels leading-edge information on humanity's paradigm shift to multidimensional experience, the mechanics of reality, and the human blueprint. Dare to Dream Radio. New news has just been picked up in syndication by 102.7 New York. So East Coasters from the place I was born and raised initially, which was actually Long Island, New York, it is great to be with you guys right now. And the show won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast. Welp magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it is high ranking under Apple Podcasts. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here and Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. If you'd like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com. If you would like to know what your galactic lineage and ancestry is, go ahead and get my gift to you, free starseed report and video. You can explore over 19 different types of starseeds. It is really captivating galactic origins information. I'm so excited about it. Lots of people are grabbing this gift, and I'm thrilled they are, because now is the time. And I know so many people are wanting to know what planet, what solar system, why, how does that create who I am, my weaknesses, my strengths, my physicality, my career, my love life, all of it. All right, folks, go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's D-E-B-B-I, no E at the end. It's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And I have so many events coming up. If you are interested in attending my free webinars, I'm also doing a 90-minute healing all in the new year. Be on my website email list. End of story. Just go to debbiedashinger.com, sign up, and you will be at the forefront of learning about all these, so you can sign up. As well, I am the first week of January, January 3rd through the 6th. I'm going to be in Sedona, Arizona. I have been invited to speak at the world's largest channel panel. And that's alongside Daryl Anka, Lisa Royal Holt, Wendy Kennedy, Jamie Price, Rob Gauthier, Lisa Royal Holt. Amazing people, all of them. So start your new year off with me and with them. What a better way. What better energy to be in to start out 2025. And finally, after that, February 7th through the 10th is the 23rd annual LA Conscious Life Expo. My guest, Rebecca Dawson, and myself, and so many brilliant presenters are going to be there. You must get your tickets. There's no reason to miss this. Come be with your tribe, your like-minded community folks. See us in person. Learn from us. Take our workshops, all for the price of the ticket. Go to debbiedashinger.com/CLE to get your ticket right away. It is the event of the year. It's debbiedashinger.com/CLE. And that leads me to my guest for today. She hasn't been here for several years, so it is so timely to have her back. Rebecca Dawson, internationally renowned channel, who experienced a spontaneous spiritual awakening at 18, launching a transformative 30-year journey of delivering wisdom from source consciousness. As a pioneering teacher of teachers, Rebecca collaborates across diverse fields, including natural medicine, business, education, and emerging technologies, helping practitioners amplify their energetic capacities with thousands of channeled messages, dozens of global workshops, and 4 published books. Dawson has dedicated her life to expanding human understanding of consciousness and potential. Originally from Australia and now based in the USA, she travels worldwide, sharing profound perspectives and her deep love for human evolutionary potential. You can learn more at her website at RebeccaDawson.com. It's DAWSON.com. And with that, I welcome Rebecca Dawson to Dare to Dream. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Debbie. It's so wonderful to be here with you again.
Yeah.
In a new conversation, new potentials, new possibilities today.
Yes, new versions of us.
Right.
Oh, one of the new pieces of the new version of you is this move. That's a pretty big move to leave Australia and come to the US. I want to know, how is it going for you? How are you liking this country?
It is a big move. I mean, I've been visiting the US every year to explore more, because I just find in general that the American population is very inquisitive and less conservative perhaps than other places in the world in terms of expanding and asking questions and not being afraid of asking the questions. And I just love that. So the energy for me here has always been very expansive. It was a bit of a surprise moving here. It wasn't something that was planned. And it's just kind of unfolded over the last couple of years. And at the moment, I'm based in Tennessee with my beautiful partner, and not quite sure where we will be next. We're looking for a new home, so somewhere in the US.
So many options. And what's beautiful about not knowing where you're going to land is you get to take lots of trips and experience different places before your heart knows where your new home is.
That's true. We've certainly been doing a lot of that. But I feel deeply, actually, not having that sense of location in the past 2 years while I've been here has been a real deepening into discovering what it means to be stable and belong within yourself. And that's been wonderful.
Absolutely. That's very interesting, actually, because I know a lot of people who are nomads these days. I am amazed. Moving to Tulum, Mexico, and they're there for however long, even a year. And all of a sudden, well, now Canada's calling to me. Well, now Thailand. That's, I love travel, but I think I need a nest. I do need a home base. I'm a nesty kind of person.
Yeah. And I feel that's a deepening, actually, that's happening in 2025 and beyond for a lot of people in the past few years, because I speak to people from all around the world going through their transformations and openings and moving out of the old and moving out of structure and out of routine and out of our identities and roles has really been the flavor for the last 3 to 5 years, at least. And 2025 and 2026 is going to bring us more collectively into a deepening of really wanting to be here and really wanting to anchor in. And that's something very different, because that wanderlust can be driven by our consciousness wanting to expand and understand more, but it's also led us out of habitual ways of doing things, habitual landscapes, habitual relationships, which has been really disruptive for people. But 2025, 2026, there's such a great arising that's happening within people that's really about, now we really want to be here, now we really want to stabilize, now we really want to anchor in. So it'd be interesting to see how that emerges for people in the months and couple of years ahead.
Yes. And listening to you say that, I have a curiosity. I know in this moment we're in a retrograde, and I've been reading some about that. And one of the retrogrades in particular, the one that has to do with Mars, also has to do with anger and boundaries. And I'm also hearing a lot about the unfoldment 2025 and going forward of honesty, transparency, which I think we're going to see in corporations, right? Even if that, I don't imagine they want that. Politics, I don't imagine they want that, but it's coming. This is the energy. Can you talk some about that, about anger, about anger? Because I know I've got my own fascinating pocket with it right now, and I love it. I'm curious about it. I'm interested in it, and I welcome it because I have seen, and it's just these different, boop, 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 nothing big, but da, 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 da. Ah, these are unresolved. Okay, got it. And maybe this harkens back to something way deeper from a long time ago, but I thank it because there's the me here. There is the me here, which I know I'm evolving into. And then there's this little mushroom that's coming up and saying, I'm ready to be healed. And so I thank it for that, for presenting. And so talk, if you will, about what you know or see pattern-wise with anger, with honesty, with transparency right now.
So if we look at the anger, the energy of anger, and even if we look at what we think about Mars, and I'm not an astrologer, so this is just what I know from the channelings over the years about these energies. Anger is a very action-oriented energy. It's associated with life force. It's associated with moving forward and doing new things. When that kind of energy it arises in response to or in opposition to something, then it becomes something that's combative. Then it becomes something that's rebellious in nature. And when we have that kind of movement for action that comes up within us, and there is a view that there's going to be resistance to what it is that we want to create, because that action energy is about we want to create something and we want to do it quickly because change is here, evolution is coming. When we come up against resistance, that's when it's experienced as anger. And so we have a wonderful invitation in the year ahead to really consider when we feel that energy rising within us. Is it really in a supposed opposition to what's around us, or is it a new life force that's meant to inspire and drive our actions towards into something new? And this is something important to consider, because we hear a lot of people from around the world saying, well, when the old structures go and the corruption goes and the old systems begin to become revealed and die, then we will be able to go ahead and birth new things. But there's such an incredible opportunity right now just to have that clarity of, oh, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to do things, regardless of what's already there. And that means you're bringing that natural Mars energy that we all have in some capacity into creation rather than resistance. The other thing I would like to say about that is, Mars energy, there's a lot of clarity in it. It's very sharp. In those moments, you are so exceptionally clear about what's right for you and what you want. And so that clarity is what can enable you to actually begin to trust in those moments when you feel that impetus for action. And remind yourself that I'm having a very clear idea about what can be possible here. And so then it's a question of where you're going to direct that arrow. And if you're going to direct the arrow into an army that you believe you're fighting, it's going to probably either get lost in there somewhere or start a conflict. But if you're directing it out into open space, when that anger arises, I wonder what's possible. Is this something real? It really has an opportunity to begin to ignite itself into a new experience.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm seeing new ways. My career is in Aries. I've got a little bit of Aries, a lot of water, a lot of fire in my chart. And I see new ways of doing business, more clarity. I see just speaking up quicker, really. Like some of the things don't even, in a way, have to do with me, but it's really someone else's behavior that's been impacting other people. And I'm not okay with it. So, it's been very interesting to give myself permission to go, oh, well, the way out is through. So I'm going to just start communicating, really. Communicating is it. I'm not a fighter. I'm not a cursor. I mean, I'm not into all that. And it doesn't help anyway. But I do think most people, I always give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think most people intentionally mean harm. I think they've got blind spots, you know? And so it's important to share, because it's a big learning curve for everybody.
Course. And then what's important then is what you are doing with that energy, because it's all energy arising. How are you going to create something with it? So if you hear someone being mistreated or not, not being accommodated in a way that's respectful to them, rather than fighting against that with that energy, say, well, how would I like to do this for people? What is the standard that I'm going to be setting? What can I create that is appropriate for people? And that way, the energy is creating something instead of fighting against something.
Yeah, I really love that. There's a lot of potency in anger, for sure.
It's incredibly powerful.
Not to be feared. There's a reason. There's a reason for it to exist. And I just will throw in there as we're talking about this that, there are many extraterrestrial species who are enamored with us, fascinated with us because of our ability to emote the depth of our feeling. And some of them have us part of the hybrid program because of that. It's no small potatoes what we are inherently.
Absolutely. And we have this incredible repertoire, this amazing, I like to call it the color box or notes on a keyboard of all the different tonalities that we can express creative energy with. And they're expressed as emotions. But the masters have often told us that emotions are particular flavors of pure energy, of pure creative energy. And when we get really emotional about something and we express it, it's a rising of energetic energy that can be directed or shaped or brought together with another flavor or another note to create something. But we've learned over the years, that there are some emotions that are desirable and undesirable. It's really a question of distilling it into pure energy. And also, more importantly, realizing that when that kind of emotional energy arises, that it's arising to create something. It's arising to be expressed. And when you're no longer afraid of it, you're willing to express it with such a pure curiosity that you begin to create something new in that moment, which is why expressing emotion in a very conscious way can be so transformative, because it's actually an act of creation. It's pure energy.
While we're talking about this, what are you aware of for these very rapid changes that are being experienced right now? Is there guidance that you can offer to people for navigating these times for while we're expanding to maintain balance during the transition?
I feel like we should go into channel for this. Is that okay?
I would love that. Thank you so much.
Greetings to you. We are with you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
In our view, the greatest capacity for the human at this time to experience joy in their expansion is to completely be inclusive with the self. Now, it's one view to attempt to become inclusive with others. And we hear many conversations about this. How can I reduce my sense of separation? How can I remove my biases? How can I become more connected with humanity? And yet, it is the ability to become inclusive within your own experience that, in our view, is the most potent and important experience of transformation. So, when you speak about emotions, for example, or you speak about that which you believe should be remedied or dealt with, or that is unfinished business, to use your terminology, within the self, it's very important to realize that it all belongs there. Whatever you feel, whatever you have experienced, it all belongs. And when you realize it belongs because everything you have experienced has been an expression of source consciousness acting through you, you move into a sense of compassion and awareness for it. humanity cannot become truly unified as a species until you become truly unified with your own experience as a human. And so 2025 and beyond is an incredibly important time for humanity to return its sense of value and importance to the self. Because when you can be inclusive with the self, when you can be clear that I am human, this is it, and everything I experience and feel and see is valid, then you are unifying the human experience. And only then can humanity become unified with each other. So there is a great deal of opportunity in 2025 and 2026, particularly, for the human to become so at rest, so in confidence with the self, because you are moving through many experiences that with that which you believed you had confidence in, that which you believed was more stable than yourself, that which you believed was more consistent in pillars of values, will become very obviously unstable. And while this may be a sense of illusionment or a sense of betrayal for many, it is ultimately a return to having complete trust in the human that you are. Because the systems and structures of your reality have convinced you that you cannot be trusted as much as they can. And it all comes back to being inclusive with yourself.
Very, very,
Everything,
yes.
everything is valid. Everything belongs. And when you realize that everything in your experience belongs there, and everything you have experienced belongs there, and everything you will experience belongs there, you can finally belong to each other. And that is the unification and evolution of human consciousness. And that is what we are all eager for. And that is why all of your brothers and sisters from other realms are here to witness this reunion, but it is a reunion with stealth.
So powerful, because that is exactly what I'm going through. Maybe I just preempted 2025, but I know at the core of a lot of what has come up for me to rectify is turning back the finger to me, worth and value. So I'm amazed to hear you say that. And it's a such an important question. I think it's important for the whole spiritual community. And when you say, basically, here's what I hear you saying, that we need to anchor into ourselves because what is to come will be a modicum or maybe a big amount of chaos, and there will be collapse, but there will also be some feelings of betrayal. Can you say more specifics about collapse and betrayal and what most probably will be coming?
Well, it's already beginning, but there is an acceleration that is about to emerge within your reality, whereby that which you found your stability of belief within begins to collapse. And this is prevalent, particularly for those within the spiritual community, because even within your ideology and structures of knowledge for spirit, you will discover that none of it is more powerful than your own existence. And so there are many, even within the spiritual community, that will become disillusioned. And that's important because let us not underestimate how systems of knowledge and structure have also permeated within these realms of exploration. Right down to the very core of the identity for the human. The human is always trying to improve oneself, trying to climb the ladder of illumination, yes, rather than relaxing into the awareness that you are already divine in your existence. And so when you look at the systems and structures, it is both the tangible and organizational systems and structures that humans have come to put their trust in, but it is also the structure of belief within. And of course, many humans have been having this awakening over the past 15 years or so, where they don't know what to believe anymore. And then humans move from one belief system to the next, to the next. You go, as this one would say, shopping for your next belief. Yes. And so eventually you come to the realization that the only thing that is worthy of your belief is the existence of you. And that is something that humans do not consider necessarily. Humans do not necessarily seek to claim their own existence. That is the arising of the new human. Other galactic species, they know they exist. There's no doubt that they exist. There are some, of course, historically in your linear expressions that have sought to prove their existence, and they are the ones that go to war. And yet, what we say to you is that humanity is moving into a more open expression of reality whereby, as individuals and as communities, the survival drive is no longer to prove your existence to one another. Because you are so at peace in the realization that you are the I am, that now there is no desire to exert your presence and prove your worth.
I have heard over and over again that duality is here so that God or Source can experience itself, good and bad, dark and light in the world. I don't get it, to be perfectly honest. So this all started because I interviewed somebody from a very famous ranch, excuse me, that's on TV. And the stuff that goes on in this ranch, I find to be incredibly spooky. I couldn't work at this place like this guy does. But I mean, some very like malevolent, menacing energies, cryptids, wild extraterrestrial stuff happens, bleed overs, portals. And it would be great if it was all, wonderment and enlightenment, but there's a lot of dark stuff. And I've heard about other places. I just personally can't focus on it at all. However, this idea of the duality, when I ask, well, why? Why is that? Why is there, for instance, this particular place, but there's many pockets around the world. Why? Why does that exist? And I was told about, well, how would you know the love if you didn't know the hate? How would you know the light if you didn't know the dark? Okay, that's super interesting. But I'm still really confused about why that's important. For source, why is that interesting? Why is there a need for source's full experience to include darkness and menacing and unexplained? I'm going to call it bad because that's how it is for me, but unexplained bad paraphernalia, paranormal, please. If you could speak to that.
Of course, and thank you for your question. Of course, you have been able to identify that there is duality, but it has not answered your question as to what the function of duality is, because the answer that you have been offered is not satisfactory to your consciousness. So let us explain it in this way. If consciousness and source, the great I am, the great one, is already aware of itself, and it is of the one. This is a very unique dimensional reality whereby it can experience itself continually in the reunion of one. So when you have an experience of duality, that duality is naturally designed to come into unity. The duality within your reality is a mechanism for unification to occur. The separation is a mechanism for reunion. It is a mechanism for awareness as oneness. And that is a point of transformation. So transformation and evolution within your reality is experienced through the mechanism of duality. Without duality, you would not experience evolution. So if you consider the greatest moments in your experience, dear one, they have been through moments of unification. Agree? I belong in this community. I have found love with this lover. I have moved into agreement with this wisdom. It is a unification experience every time there's been a point of transformation with you. So the duality itself, if you can look at all aspects within your reality as having a function, once you recognize the function, there's no longer a reason to be at odds with it or to question its existence. It is important for humans to say, yes, duality exists. Oh, I can see the genius of the functionality of it, because the separation naturally brings unification again. It is the nature of reality. So when you give the example of certain dark, you call it, experiences that are occurring, or dark, as you call it, aspects of consciousness, what is being drawn to those things? Who is being drawn to that experience? Curiosity. Those who are interested in consciousness. Those who are interested in gaining more understanding and investigating agree. So you have a very expansive energy coming together with a very contractive energy. And there again is the functionality of the mechanism to bring about transformation. So the reality that the Earth has experienced in the past 300,000 years or so has been one where evolution has occurred through the attraction of duality. However, the Earth reality is moving through a paradigm shift whereby there will be a new experience and a new mechanism of evolution. And this is what many are discussing at this time. We are tired of opposites. We are tired of mirroring. We have saturated this experience. There has been so much separation and so much unification. What else is there? And so you discover now that humanity is moving into a new reality, a new dimensional experience that many are gathering for at this time, whereby this separation mechanism is no longer required to be the impetus and momentum for evolution. And this is where you move into an experience of fifth dimensionality and beyond, where it is the expansion of possibility that creates the evolution rather than the experience of separation and unification.
Beautiful. Well, somebody wrote to me, one of the listeners wrote to me a question about the Anunnaki, and specifically, he was wanting me to ask on one of my shows, are there Anunnaki here with me? We're here with us right now, controlling the government, the politics, maybe corporations and other things. So this is going to be a two-part question because based on what you just shared, there's his question, but there's also the piece of again, good and bad. I know 450,000 years ago what the Anunnaki did to the human species by altering us in order to become labor wasn't supposed to happen. We're a planet of free will. So maybe we might say bad Anunnaki. And certainly, I think their planet of Anunnakis felt the same way, like, whoa, you're breaking protocol. So, are there good and bad Anunnakis? I already know they're definitely good reptilians. I want to get that out there, but I'm going to go also so far as the Dracos, because they also have a bad rap. But I'm friends with somebody who channels a Draco, which for someone with dominant Lyra in galactic history, that's pretty interesting. But anyway, peace on Earth, people. So, that's a two-part question to answer this gentleman's inquiry, which is, are there Anunnaki still on the planet? Are they doing anything? Are they manipulating? And then the second part of that, is there good and bad? Good and bad Anunnaki, reptilian, Draco, etc.
Well, let's bring it back into the paradigm of the reality within which this question is being asked and the reality within which you are listening to the response. Because if you are here in a third dimensional cause and effect duality reality, that is how you are going to experience these species. Just as you experience humanity in this way, you will experience all species in this way. And this is a very important point. Because this is the nature of your reality. It's a separation reality. So, if any species is going to emerge within your reality here, particularly in a physical way, it's going to fractalize itself or split itself into two. That's the nature of your dualistic reality. Now, there are many species that are emerging in the awareness of human consciousness at this time from other galactic systems and other dimensional realities that do not appear to be or are not experienced as a dualistic expression. Agree? So, for example, there are those that some would call the Pleiadians, for example, or some would call the Antarians, for example, and the way they are experienced within the consciousness of the beings who are experiencing them in their human form is not dualistic. And it's not dualistic because the consciousness that is enacting that communication is beyond the third, fourth dimensional vibrational field. So, what we would say is anything that is being experienced within this third, fourth dimensional reality is going to be experienced in duality. The question here is not who are the good races and who are the bad races, and are there good and bad in both? The question is how can human consciousness expand and evolve beyond this limited spectrum of first, third, fourth density so that you can experience an elevated version of all of these particular species of nature. That is how we would answer the question.
And are there Anunnaki still involved with us today, or no?
Of course. Why would we say this? Because as long as your awareness is still in third, fourth density, that is where a point of their awareness is. Once you begin to expand and evolve your consciousness beyond fifth dimensionality, you begin to realize that that particular version of that particular group of beings is not experienced in that same way.
I want to shift to West Africa, a place called Mali, and there is a sector of indigenous people there called the Dogons, the Dogon people of West Africa. Can you share about their relationship with the Nomos beings of Sirius?
Of course. Well, what you will discover, dear one, is that they, in their capacity to view and their capacity to sense reality, have been able to move into a state of awareness whereby there is very little distinction between the physicality of their location and the physicality of location of other species. So this is really not only a sense of kinship, this is a practical, in our view, way of being in the environment that enables them to move beyond what is necessarily limited to third, fourth dimensional viewing. It's no different to how the what you would call indigenous or original people of the Australis continent also move in and out with their awareness to different dimensional realities. Do you have another question about
Oh, I'm
this?
just really ingesting that. That's huge. That is a huge piece. So it's not that they're hanging out in this place in West Africa and suddenly the spinning silver disc comes down and these amphibious beings called the Nomos come out and interact. You are saying also the people themselves, because they transcend this reality and this realm. By virtue of that, go, can go and meet them. Can you talk more about that? This is exciting.
Of course, and this is part of what humans are going to begin to understand, not only about the technology of the planet, but the technology of the human form and the human body itself. Because the human body itself is not a container or a vessel per se, it is an opening to other realities. And indeed, consciousness arrives into this reality through your physical body. And likewise, you can also arrive into other realities through your body and bring other realities through your body. So these very original, we won't call them original peoples, we will call them ancient peoples, are very, very aware of the capacity of their body and aware of a similar capacity of the planetary system itself, whereby they are aware that the planet is not a solid form that contains, but rather that it is a portal or a doorway that allows things to arise through it. They are also aware that if they are very anchored within the earth energy itself, it opens up the planetary experience to enable things to emerge through it. And that is why they are called the keepers of the earth, because the earth itself is a portal to other realities. And it's interesting to us when we hear humans declare that other beings arrive through time and space beyond to the planet when they are those original keepers of the planet that know that those particular species arrive through the planet into this reality. And the body is a model of the planet itself. It's a question of scale.
So that said, through the planet, there is a Hopi legend that says that the Hopi Indians were saved twice during Earth cataclysms. Once during a fire that destroyed the earth, and another during the Ice Age. The story is that the Hopis were saved by the ant people living underground inside the earth. Is this a true story? And if so, can you share the details about the Hopi experience and who the ant people were or are?
Well, what we would suggest is based upon what we have alluded to within this conversation, the center of the Earth is not so different to the center of a star. And your scientists are beginning to discover this. There are already many discussions within the scientific realms that are suggesting that the Earth is not designed too differently to the Sun itself, whereby there is a great opening and void space within it. So it's not so much a question of a species living under the ground rather than a species arising through the planetary center into the Earth reality.
I'm following. And what about the ant people and the Hopis?
Well, how is it that they were appearing to arise?
Well, the Hopis were going to be wiped out in these cataclysms, and the ant people presented. Well, I'll tell you how the story goes, and then you can reframe this as it actually was. But the idea that, the ant people came up through the underground to the above ground and basically ushered the Hopis in and said, we will save you. And they taught the Hopis about food storage. Of course, they shared their food with them, and there's even a piece that says this is why the ants have such thin waists, because they were sharing their food with the Hopis. They were proliferating under there, very grateful for the ant people, ant tribe help. And then when the earth was ready to be habitated again, the Hopis came back out. But I've heard other stories in other parts of the world, even today, about giant ant people.
Let us say this. This is what we are able to express in this moment. There are many different species that have been coexisting within the Earth reality since its inception. It is entirely based upon the human spectrum of awareness that determines what you are able to perceive and interact with, and what remains invisible to your senses and experience.
Okay. I guess that's like some people are very gifted and they see fairies and fae and all sorts of elementals. Some of us do not, etc. Some people see ghosts and all sorts of things, but this sounds like a different level of perception.
And it's not to say that it is not real. It is to say that most humans are so engaged with their mental activity that they are not fully present to the earth reality.
That's true.
And when you are anchored and very present in the earth reality, the earth reveals itself in all of its splendor. It's very interesting when humans say to us, we must save the planet. What we would say to them is, you must save your focus, because where your mind is not where reality is.
Yeah, and technology too for that focus. It's very distracting.
And of course, the original peoples were very, very present with the earth. And the more present you are with the earth, the more your feet are on the earth, the more you are present too. The pulses of life and activity that are emanating from the center of the earth outwards in every moment, the more you can actually arrive into the earth reality as it is. Humans say they yearn to go home. We say you yearn to be in the earth as it truly is. Yes.
So beautiful. When I speak, always towards the end of my talks, I bring this up when, the question is always, okay, we learned all this. Now what? Now, how do we apply these ancient shamanic practices to right where the earth is headed, where humanity is headed, to heal? And that's my answer. Go put your feet in the grass, connect with Mother Earth. And it, on one hand, I know the truth of it because I've experienced it. I have a real relationship with her, an incredibly deep love and respect because of doing that, but many other things. And I don't always know if I can express it enough that people will take action, make it a practice. And there's a song I sing, I also perform with a band, and one of the words to a song is to take this back to your family. The light inside may be the only thing that will save them. Put their hands in the earth and remind them of what they came here to be. And it's a profound song. So, in my way, I try to get this out. How would you say it, though? How is there a way for people who really they're open, they're hungry, they're like, okay, connecting with the earth, what does that mean? What does that look like? How can I do something around that, be something around that to actually make a difference?
Well, when you are aware that most of your mind connects into a collective field of information and knowledge and belief, you realize that you are very much involved with something that sits beyond your physicality. The earth itself is incredibly physical. The gift of your earth reality is the experience of consciousness in physical form. You are meant to become as physical as possible. The game of ascension is not to move beyond the physical. The game of ascension is to become as physical as you possibly can, because that is bringing the math of consciousness of multidimensionality into a very fine point of laser precision. That's potency. That's a laser focus of consciousness, and that's your physicality. And your opportunity in this reality is to actually not only become as physically potent as you possibly can with your consciousness, which means being very grounded within your body, becoming acutely aware of the information systems that exist within your body, but equally becoming acutely aware of the information systems that exist within the planet. Because if you realize that modern humanity is plugged into a network and a system that runs between you realize that you're not actually connecting into the wisdom and the knowledge and the systems of energy that you're naturally designed to be connected to. And that's not just the planetary system of wisdom. Remember, the planet itself is a portal to multidimensional systems of wisdom. And all of the distraction about what you would wish to connect to out here is bringing you away from your natural awareness and your natural access to wisdom. Won't it be interesting with the development of what you call artificial intelligence?
Yes.
Ask yourself the question, is that about more division or is that going to be a mechanism for the unification of these two systems? That's a possibility.
Oh, I am so getting this. Thank you for all of this. The Hopi tribe in North America, again, the Hopis, they have this rich tradition of Kachina dolls. That's what I grew up knowing them as, a Kachina doll, but they're actually Kachina spirits. So are these Kachinas a powerful representation of the beings from the stars who came and worked with the Hopis? Who were the Kachinas?
Well, the Kachinas, of course, are other aspects of humanity that arrive within the awareness of the human, particularly when they're connected to the earth, to embolden and assist in their awareness of possibility. So we would call them brethren. We would call them the brothers and the sisters. Yes? And they are the brothers and the sisters that exist simultaneously alongside, but just out of view when the mind is focused on external reality rather than the manifestation of the earth reality. So they are potent reminders and symbols and manifestations of all of the beings that gather closer than hands and feet.
Closer than hands and feet. Wow. I have curiosity about Nikola Tesla. He had an amazing life, interesting guy, terrible businessman, but brilliant. And I have knowledge about Nikola Tesla and the trances that he would go in before coming back with new inventions. Can you talk about that? Because what he experienced is very akin to what a shaman experiences during their initiatory stage, near death, rebirth, coming back with wild talents, etc. What was going on with Nikola Tesla? Can you talk about that?
Well, in the context of our conversation thus far, let us clarify that it is not a question of going into an altered state of consciousness to go out. It is a question of going into a very controlled state of consciousness to go deeper within. Because remember, when you're going deeper within, you can access the all. There is a portal that exists within every cell of your body, just as the center of the earth is also a portal. And so, this is an acute ability to relax into the center point of the body. And this is why this being you speak of was very interested in studying energetic systems and fields, because they knew that at the very core of existence, that was the opening into all possibilities. So, the quest to discover energy was the quest to discover the doorway to all possibilities. This was a being that was actually interested in evolution. And what they discovered is that if they could understand the mechanics of the origin of energy, they could discover the impetus and the ignition for evolution for humanity. That was the main focus. But of course, developing of the model was developing a model of what the actual energetic system is that exists within all living things, including humans. So deeply, deeply devoted to the evolution of human consciousness, however, acutely aware that at that particular time of seeding, because they were seeding their ideas into reality, the nature and tone of the vibrational collective field was not quite ripe enough for that seed to really flourish as it is at this time.
Yes, because both he and Marconi, an Italian inventor, both would say quite publicly that they had relations with extraterrestrials. But as you say, back in that time, they were ridiculed so much that they just shut it down and they stopped having the conversation. So I was curious, and thank you for this just incredible information about him and what he was really about, and about the going in to connect with the all that exists, the portal, if you will. I guess
of
that's
course
right, completely powerful.
Infinite energy.
Mm-hmm.
Infinite energy. And of course also their communication and reunion with other species, you call it, or we would call it other aspects of their own consciousness that appeared as extraterrestrial form to them, was also experienced through the exploration of the origins of energy within the human form.
Incredible. And so where galactically did Nikola Tesla come from? What was his star lineage? Was it a science-based planet?
We would say that they had multiple aspects assisting them, because remember, it wasn't just one particular expression of self. There was a very particular Arcturian expression that was very helpful to them, of course, because the Arcturian aspect of his particular beingness was very involved in setting up a lot of the system, the structural systems around the Atlantean period during the Earth development and the Earth's original understanding of the energetic systems of the planet, the inception of the harnessing of the natural energetic systems of the planet. However, what we would suggest is that they have and were well aware of, with their own point of evolution, that they had multiple aspects of self that they could draw upon, particularly the Andromedan aspect, that had a great desire to see humanity evolve beyond the containment of the time loop or the time system. Yes. And this is why that one that you refer to was also intimately involved with the development of investigation into moving beyond time states.
Very interesting. These are connections I didn't expect, and they make so much sense. Yeah. Was Yeshua and Mary Magdalene also Arcturians?
We would say that they were Arcturian and beyond. Because remember, the more illuminated you become, the more you embrace. Going back to the very beginning of our conversation, embracing the inclusiveness of the self, that's the act of illumination. And so therefore it would be misleading of us to say that they were this or they were that, when their entire awakening was about including all of the aspects of self. And in doing so, they were able to include all aspects of humanity as themselves, which has been expressed and interpreted as the great forgiveness and a resurrection of life.
Okay. Well, speaking about that, the crucifixion, I got a really old book on Audible from the 1970s. It is called Seth Speaks, by Jane Roberts, channeled book. And in it, Seth said that Jesus was not really crucified. And I have no idea if there was any truth to this, but said Jesus was not crucified, when in fact, it just so happened they knew what was going to happen. There was a gentleman in their town who was an alcoholic, and he was always very drunk. He happened to look enough in those times, like Jesus. And there was a pact made that he would fill in for Jesus on the cross, and that Jesus and Mary would go off to live their life in anonymity. Is there any truth to this?
We would be in concurrence that the crucifixion, as it was described, did not occur. And we would be in concurrence with you that there was another period of expression and walking as a master in the East and beyond after this perceivable point in history.
And you don't mean reincarnated, you mean still as
Still in physical form.
still in physical form. Amazing. Yes, because you hear about him in so many countries, also about Mary. And I think that's way more interesting than just saying, oh, there's a chapel with a rose on it in France, that they did proliferate, and it just, anyway, it feels like it when I hear this story, and that their children as well, that they were able to carry on their progeny, and maybe to even still today, there are
What
their
is important to express is that there was a deep experience of suffering that occurred. And it was important that there was a deep experience of suffering because this, in itself, and with the magnitude of consciousness that was being presented in the human form, enabled a reunion and inclusiveness of consciousness to have that intensity of suffering and to actually be inclusive of it was an important experience of unification that ultimately liberated and illuminated that consciousness even more in that moment.
And are you speaking a collective suffering, not an individual suffering?
In that experience, the one that you speak of, the one known as Yeshua, experienced the collective suffering as personal. Yes, because in that moment there was no separation. And it's not to say that what you call the crucifixion occurred in the way that it was described, but we would say that there was an intense experience of suffering involved within that experience. And
Incredible.
we don't want to be detailed about physical suffering, mental anguish, and emotional experience, but let us be clear that there was a transformation of suffering within the internal space.
Amazing. Thank you for that. That's big information.
Well, it's important because all humans suffer.
So when the Christian people say, and forgive me everybody if I bastardize this, raised Jewish, but I hear it enough out there that, like, how do they say it? Not the sin part, which is I'm starting to hear, but that's not at all what I'm talking about, but that he suffered that we might know, or that he might take away our suffering, something like that in their language. Is this what you're also, maybe the aftermath of that transformation of the suffering is?
When you are aware about the nature of consciousness and you realize that you are all one, your devotion shifts from being in service to others to a deep devotion of the consciousness of self. Because what you realize is what you transform within you transforms your entire reality and perception of humanity. So the focus from being in service and in demonstration to others shifted to a complete devotion of self. And therefore, in that way, that intense experience of suffering and the inclusiveness of it and the acceptance of it as a human condition enabled a unification to occur. And a subsequent illumination and expansion. So it would could be interpreted that they did it for humanity, but because they did it for themselves, their view of humanity and their experience of humanity shifted. This is a principle of your reality.
It's beautiful. I have two more questions. One is about the Mayan people and the lost civilization about Maya. Were they originally from in the were they originally from the Pleiades? There is a planet called Maya, MAIA, as opposed to their spelling MAYA. What about the Mayan people? They're very fascinating, their galactic history and their reason for being here.
We would agree. And we will often ask the question, where did the Mayans go of humans? Because there was a collective agreement for them to leave at a certain time or a certain moment in the human experience. We would say that they come from a very specific group of planets, not too far in distance from what you would call Alderaan. And what we would say is that they arrive for a particular period of time to actually anchor into the information and energetic system of the Earth's planet, not only to contribute to the expansion of its field of possibility, because they were anchoring possibilities for the Earth blueprint into it, but also to experience that density of the calibration, the caliber of their vibration in a new way. So it was very much about really feeling into the density of the body, really feeling into what it is to be concentrated in form. And so many of their rituals and practices were about the density of the human experience. They were very much about really feeling that sense of compression within the body, that sense of density within the body. And so many of their practices were about feeling incredibly physical. How physical can we become? So it was a great imprint. We would call their experience here an imprint into the collective human consciousness and into the design of the energetic and informational systems within the planetary expression itself.
Very, very interesting. I'm thinking while you're saying that, when I first started awakening to all of this, because so much was confusing to me, I was getting messages and downloads about who I was. I didn't know what to do with the information. And just one piece of the message was about, that I was a shaman, which I was like, I had no idea what to do with that. And so I was gifted with some past life regressions. And this guy was good because he was able to put me under. And I did see in the sessions, I saw several different things that concurred, made sense. But in the last one, I saw myself as a Mayan priestess, and I was over 7 feet tall, very skinny, tall, 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 and unbelievable manifester. But I mean, I really kind of fell in love with her. She was brilliant and an aspect of me, a lifetime of me. And before I left, I wanted to ask her something about her manifesting abilities. I had lots of assumptions. And she shook her head and telepathically said, "I'm not from here. I'm from another galaxy." And really interesting, many years, I had my genetics tested, not my DNA, which are pretty boring, but I had my raw DNA tested. And when I asked specifically about is there indigenous in me, it came back 99.4% Mayan and 0.6% Native American. I thought, my God, you can't write this. It's so beyond synchronistic. And so were there beings such as what I'm talking about that maybe occupied a body while I don't know if it was an earthly Mayan experience now or another planetary experience for Maya, but there been beings who are 7 feet tall and like what I'm describing?
Much more ancient within your historical timeline than what you would consider the Mayans to be. Remember, the Mayans were aware of their origin throughout their experience. And so they were very open to other associations and facilitations. We wish to make a comment about what you call inheritance within your genetic programming and profiling. It's important to remind yourself that the nature of your genetic sequence and design is created through vibration. And therefore, the vibration of your multiple aspects of self is what forms the vibrational blueprint, which you ultimately call your DNA. As such, as you become more aware of multiple aspects of self, your DNA begins to activate and to begin to resonate with them. It is, in our view, more interesting in terms of your investigations to consider how your multidimensional awareness is manifesting itself as your genetic profile rather than a sense of inherited biology.
Wow, that is super cool. Oh man.
And this is why what humans call DNA is going to appear to change over the next 40 years upon your planet. Because as your vibration shifts and you become more aware of who you are, it begins to inform and redesign your physical expression.
So you say, are you saying that DNA and genetics are mutable, and as we become more, especially more awareness of who we truly be, that we will see changes in markers, in expression, in DNA, and in our genetics?
Of course.
Okay, last question.
Ask yourself
Yes.
if inheritance is something that comes from the past or if it is something that arrives from multiple dimensional realities. There's a question.
Yes, I think I have believed whatever the collective has passed down about the inheritance for sure.
This is a different view of evolution, agree?
Absolutely. It's an exciting one.
This
Talk
is
about,
why we are here.
yeah. And I mean, this is like another example of there really is nothing written in stone. This is fluid like water. And this is even more potency to we truly are creators. Because as we create and evolve, so the rest of us does, and we get
Of
to see it.
course, and not only are you creators, you are creation itself. And creation is never set in stone.
So beautiful. The last question is about the Lyrans. Earth is said to have Lyran genetic roots, that these ancestral connections with the Lyrans, do we have latent Lyran traits that we're able to access or develop right now?
Well, based upon our conversation, you could answer this yourselves. Because if you are aware of the multidimensional aspects that humanity expresses itself as in other galactic realities and other dimensional realities, you realize, of course, that the answer is yes, you have those aspects. And the Lyrans and the Andromedans and the Arcturians and the Pleiadians and the Antarians and all of these other galactic species you have been able to identify equally have aspects of themselves as you. So as you are evolving, their blueprint for creation is changing.
I
As
love
they are
that
evolving, your blueprint for creation is changing because you are all one. And this again brings us back to the theme of our conversation about the importance of the inclusion within yourself. In our view, It is only preliminary for humans in their awakening state to identify with one particular galactic aspect, rather than an entire orchestra of aspects.
A symphony of aspects.
A
We really,
symphony of creation.
really, really, we are all one.
Yes.
Anything you want to say here at the end?
It is important to take joy in the curiosity. You are not a problem to be solved. Humanity is not a problem to be solved. Take joy in your curiosity. Be fascinated. Be in awe when you discover something new, because you are ultimately discovering something new about yourself. This is how you return to the earth and arise in your glory.
Thank
Peace be
you.
with you.
Yes, thank you for your generosity. What a gift. What a gift. Oh my. How are
Thank you,
you?
Debbie. Good. Woof, big energy. Great questions. Questions I have never been asked before and did not know the answer to, not consciously, anyhow. Fascinating.
Really fascinating. That was,
Yeah.
I had goosebumps. I had big energy expansions, moments of like just ingestion of this buffet of fantastic information. And I actually loved the way they connected everything. It was artfully done, really, in a way to keep weaving this information back to the original idea of duality, non-duality, reintegration, and really all of who we are. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
beautiful.
I really enjoyed it too. I really wanted to come into this conversation today, wanting to explore and discover something new. So thank you for bringing those beautiful questions and your divine presence so that that could happen.
Always. I want you to share with people, what are you offering? What kind of programs are you doing these days?
Oh, okay. I am always doing seminars and workshops online, which you can find at my website, rebeccadawson.com. We have actually a free themes event coming up in January, on January 14th and 15th. You can register for that on my website. That's a free channeling for an hour where you can actually ask questions as well if you join us live. And that's really discussing everything for 2025. So, what are the themes and flavors coming up? And you can also see me at the Conscious Life Expo that's coming up. I'm going to be there with you, Debbie. So I'll look forward to seeing you there as well. And we'll be doing a live channeled workshop on the Saturday. And we'll also be in a panel discussion about this very topic, interdimensional beings. So I look forward to contributing to that also.
Oh, fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, I hope I'm free to go see that panel. Oh, man, that sounds really good. Right up my alley. So, folks, if you'd like to see Rebecca Dawson in person doing her thing, 23rd Annual Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles at the LAX Hilton. It is February 7th through the 10th, 2025. The link is in the show notes or description. And for those of you listening, just put it in your head or write it down in your phone, debbiedashinger.com/CLE for Conscious Life Expo. debbiedashinger.com/CLE. Get your tickets. And Rebecca, what do you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Oh, discovering freedom in new ways in 2025. That is what I wish to discover next. And I don't even know what that is or what's possible. So I'm going to be very open about discovering a new way of expressing.
That sounds big. That sounds yummy. So
We'll
stay
see.
tuned. Yes, it's a journey. And I'm wonderful about this free offering you've got in January, the 14th and the 15th. You can go to her website, rebeccadawson.com, for 2025 questions and answers and channelings. I
And
entity, sorry, please.
sorry, I forgot to mention you can also go to the website and you can download a free copy of our most popular book too, The New Human Experience, which will explain everything from the shift from 3D to 5D. And we're offering that for free at the moment because we want people to be aware of what's happening.
Yeah, super important. Thank you for that gift. I end today's show with this quote from Terence McKenna. Nature is not our enemy to be raped and conquered. Nature is ourselves to be cherished and explored. Shamanism has always known this, and shamanism has always, in its most authentic expressions, taught that the path requires allies. These allies are the hallucinogenic plants and the mysterious teaching entities, luminous and transcendental, that reside in that nearby dimension of ecstatic beauty and understanding that we have denied until it is now nearly too late. Remember, folks, this is for me. About putting your feet in the grass, the connection with Earth that Rebecca and these beautiful channel beings shared with us. Really, such an important message. Do transcribe, do subscribe, do some kind of IBE to the show. We love that you join us. And when you subscribe, it really helps put this in front of people who want to hear conversations like this. You're going to want to subscribe anyway, like, comment, because coming up on the show in the next weeks, starting this Thursday, Suzanne Giesman, Thomas Winterton from the Skinwalker Ranch, Trisha McKinnon, Jason Quitt, Marie Diamond, and Barbara Lamb. These are going to be unbelievable conversations. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.